it kind of takes me back to what you said earlier. It's one of my favorite things to do in a reading is feel like I've given someone the permission slip just to be them. Mm. It's amazing to me how much we all need this. It seems like something so simple. Well, why can't I just be me? But it's so helpful when someone just kind of gives you that nudge and says, it's okay, you're allowed to do it this way.
Yeah. Being you is not wrong or bad. It's maybe just different than how other people do it, but that's the beauty in it, right? Because if we were all the same, then how boring would the world be?
You're listening to the Mindful Vitality Podcast. I'm Holly Braddock, a registered nutritionist, and I'm serving up evidence-based functional nutrition in easy-to-digest tidbits that you can use to boost your mood, energy, and balance your gut, all while tuning into your body's needs and building a lifestyle that aligns with your truest self. I bring you the latest in gut health and mental health research, including interviews with local wellness experts in the KW community, so you can uplevel your life and find your spark again. Let's dive into the episode. Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of the Mindful Vitality Podcast. This week, I interviewed my good friend, Allison Kufer. She's an intuitive life and business coach who specializes in guiding women to know and understand their most authentic self. She believes that when people live authentically and begin living a life by their design, they can rise up and begin living a joyful and abundant life. Her main tools are human design and intuitive guidance. And her work has been born from her own life journey of healing and self-discovery, and combined with her gifts of guiding and truly seeing others for who they really are. She lives what she teaches and is continuously a light and inspiration to many. Without further ado, let's dive into the episode and get to know more about human design.
Hey, Allison, thank you so much for joining me on the Mindful Vitality Podcast.
You're welcome. I am super excited to be chatting with you today.
Yeah, for sure. So usually I start off with my guests by asking them to share a bit about their kind of healing or wellness journey and how that may have inspired you to do what you do in your business.
Okay. So this could be a very big answer, but I'll try to give the Cole's notes, and I'll say that, I feel like my wellness healing journey kind of started from the moment I was born in some regards. There's really never been a time in my life where, until recently, where I felt really healthy physically and emotionally, like both mm-hmm. at the same time. And throughout my childhood, it wasn't really until my early 20s that I was officially diagnosed and things came to a peak. And at that point, I was told you have irritable bowel. I had very intense depression and anxiety, and like all kind of three of those things became a huge catalyst for like my life kind of coming down and breaking down and just pausing. So I spent about 4 years very caught up in an unhealthy cycle of being very depressed, very anxious, a lot of gut issues that just weren't going away. And I also, in that time, I had really given up. The depression really peaked at a time where I also just kind of gave up. It's like I was very much in victim mode, and I was kind of saying to God, the universe, like, you did this to me, someone's got to fix it, like I can't anymore. And it wasn't until about 4 years into that journey that I finally got to this point of, okay, this isn't going anywhere. Mm-hmm. This depression is staying, the anxiety is staying. Maybe you're going to have to live with this. And do I want to keep living how I am, or am I going to do something about it? And there was something that clicked, and it was the moment that I kind of decided I'm going to take a little bit of control of this. I'm going to take responsibility for this and start recreating or rebuilding my life. And it's like the depression gave me permission to say, I don't care what you guys are telling me to do anymore. I'm going to start to create a life that feels really good for me. Yeah. And for the next 8 years, like, it wasn't an overnight thing. It was literally for the next 8 years, I started to create a life that it was like my survival life. It's how it started. It started as like, these are the survival skills I need to set up in order to feel good. And that launched me into a career in fitness, because at that point, movement medicine was huge for my depression. So I was like, I'm going to surround myself in fitness, in health. I had hardcore boundaries in like sleep, what I did. And prior to this, like prior to the depression being really bad, I had zero boundaries. So it was, I was doing what everyone else wanted. And then over those 8 years, I just really started to, like, year by year, come back home to my authentic self. And it was about halfway through that journey that I realized, oh my gosh, I'm not just healing, but I'm like, I'm becoming healthier and more expansive than I even thought was possible. Because in the beginning, I thought this was just me healing and becoming functional. Right. And then it started to switch and turned into me just stepping into my highest self and becoming healthier and more vibrant than I even thought. And yeah, so it took me to life coaching eventually, but there was a lot of steps in there. And now that really is what I do. It's, I've realized how much my ill health were signs and symptoms of me being so out of alignment. And that has led me to the work that I do of helping others step into their authentic power and aligning their life. So it just feels really good for them, regardless of whether it's just for health or it's for creating a really amazing, amazing life.
Yeah, that's interesting. And thank you for sharing your story. I feel like similar situation with myself and in many people I've talked to, where it's almost like the mental health aspect, whether it's anxiety or depression or whatever it may be, came about as almost like a catalyst for change, being like, okay, this is happening to you because it's needs to motivate you to shift your life in a different direction, because what you're doing isn't working. Like, there's something that's off. Like you said, like, you're not in alignment, and that's it's bringing your energy down. It's making you feel like something's not right. And it's inspiring you to hopefully eventually, when you get the motivation, to start taking those initial first steps to change your life. Right. So
exactly. Very much so. And that was a big shift for me, like kind of actually looking back at my depression as a gift instead of shaming it. It was like, no, this was a big warning sign that realigned me. It was a gift. It's not something to be shamed. It was a symptom. That's been so powerful.
For sure. So maybe you can talk a bit about how, you know, as part of your healing journey and what you found was helpful, I think you really like leaned into your intuition, both in terms of, you know, spiritual, emotional healing, but also your physical, like, gut healing journey. You know, not just following straight out what a doctor or a naturopath would say, like, this is what you should do, but kind of really tuning into what feels best for you and your body.
Yeah, intuition has played a huge, huge role for me. And it didn't start out that way. It started out as me doing so much trial and error, and in the beginning, listening to doctors and not getting anywhere. And finally got to a point of, oh my gosh, I can't just listen to these people. there's gotta be something else. And in that process, I really started to tap into my own intuition. And that has been really powerful, especially over the last, I want to say final years, let's say the last 3 years of my healing journey, that has really become a strong, strong, strong piece. And I am a big fan of research. It's not like I'm here to say everything is just intuition.
Right.
It's a combination. And my current process is I do a lot of research. I actually have like a handful of health professionals that I trust, and I kind of like pull information from, and I take in all the information, I take in all the science, and at the end of the day, I listen to my intuition. It's like, it's like the logic, the rational science out there becomes fuel for my intuition, and my intuition decides what step are you going to lean into. And
right.
I really believe that has brought me to healing. It's been a massive, massive piece for me, for sure.
Yeah, that's crazy. I love that aspect of it, because yeah, I've been through a similar journey myself, and it feels overwhelming when you've got, especially if you're working with a couple professionals, and sometimes they may tell you like contradicting things in terms of what treatment is best or what you should be eating or not eating. And you're like, hey, someone's telling me to eat this, but that really doesn't sit well with my body. And, you know, just because that's the standard protocol for a specific ailment doesn't mean it's necessarily right for you, because everyone's body is different. So.
Exactly. And yeah. I think that's what I was really drawn to you with, is like, here's someone who is using science, but it's also, okay, let's take science and then let's learn about you. Like, combine them together. There's you, and then there's science, and then there's a unique plan. And everyone is so different.
Yeah, so we can talk a bit about the work that you do with clients. So your life coaching, and specifically human design, which I probably can't do it justice to really explain and introduce. So maybe I'll let you do that, and then we can dive deeper into it.
Okay, amazing. So yes, I'm a life coach, a business coach. Essentially, I'm someone who is so passionate about guiding others to live their most authentically aligned life. And my main tool is human design. I also use various coaching skills and my own intuition and guiding others to tap into their intuition. But one of my biggest tools is human design. And essentially, human design is a self-discovery tool that allows you to receive this energetic blueprint of yourself that I kind of like to call an owner's manual of who you were from the very moment you were born, before you received any of the world's conditioning that told you who you're supposed to be, how you're here to show up. And it just gives you these really beautiful clues as to how your energy best works in the world, how you're here to cultivate your opportunities, how you're here to cultivate success, how you're here to be healthy and function and thrive. It will point out inherent gifts, where you are more prone to conditioning, and just give you so many clues as to how you're here to do life. I love, to me, the simplest definition is, it's like if I could hand you an owner's manual. I mean, everyone, it's like your car. People can figure out how to drive a car without an owner's manual, but with an owner's manual, you can probably be way more efficient, keep it like so healthy and amazing if you follow that owner's manual. So it's not like everyone has to have human design. We can all figure out life. But it provides these like amazing clues when I know so many of us are searching for those clues to how am I here to function? Because we have so much conditioning on us that says you're supposed to do X, Y, and Z, and you're supposed to follow this path. And it gets so confusing.
Yeah, I think especially in this year, a lot of people are dealing with a lot of difficult like life transitions. And you know, and I've gone through this myself. I mean, I've gone through a lot of transitions in the last few months, but also because of my science background, I've very much, you know, trained my brain and conditioned my brain to think logically and, you know, what are the facts and what, okay, from the facts, let's make a choice, let's make a decision, and it has to all be rational, right? But, you know, not having that, tuning into your intuition or giving yourself enough time to really sit and feel how each of those choices might feel to you on an intuitive level doesn't really do it justice. Because, you know, I was looking at my chart, for example, and maybe you can share some insight into what you saw, but I noticed one of the things it said was that if I'm very emotional, and which makes sense, and I live by my emotions, but if I like don't give myself enough time to fully process an idea or something before jumping into it or committing to something, and I just make it like a snap decision because I'm assuming that, oh, that person needs an answer right away and I better make a choice right now, you know, based on logic and what seems right. And then often if I do that, then I end up, you know, backpedaling and regretting my choice or feeling overwhelmed because it's really not aligned with what is right for me.
Exactly. Yeah. So you are an emotional authority. An authority it's one of my favorite pieces to teach people about their human design. There's so many pieces of info in your human design, but if someone is just getting into it, I would recommend looking at your energy type first, which you are a generator, and then the authority. And both those pieces are so helpful for people right now when they are trying to navigate these big life decisions, because your authority literally tells you how you're here to make those big life decisions. Mm-hmm. So as someone who's an emotional authority, just like you said, you are going to have all these emotions that you they could throw you off. Like, the goal of someone who is an emotional authority is you are here to wait to make your big life decisions. You're here to wait until you're calm, cool, and collected. and steer away from those reactive, I'm an emotional high, I'm going to say yes,
or
I'm an emotional low, so I'm going to say no. So it's so powerful for you guys to be so aware of your emotions and know that in different highs or lows, you're going to feel a little bit differently, but waiting until that calm, cool, and collective truth comes, which you will know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kind of riding that wave, they said, right? So
exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. And I know for a fact the times that I've, you know, been in a high and made a snap decision, like, yeah, that feels right. Like, let's just do it, and been spontaneous kind of thing. And vice versa, when I was in the low and saying no to things, because it's just, I just was so low and I couldn't, felt like anything was overwhelming. Both of those times I did not make the right choices. So it's definitely something I've had to learn to work on, is riding that wave until I come to that place of feeling like, okay, I've processed this, I've rode the wave, I'm feeling, like you said, like calm, cool, and collected, and I can make a decision based both on rationality as well as like my inner intuition.
Exactly. And yeah. The piece that I love reminding people about emotional authority is, and I'm not sure if you're aware of this piece, but to me, people with emotional authority, divine timing has your back. Like, it plays such a pivotal role in your life. It's saying, today's not the time for that decision, and maybe tomorrow's not the time, but later in the week, later in the month, the right timing will align. And there's actually so much seductive power that you guys have when you tell someone, I'll get back to you. Like, the right aligned opportunity for you, whoever is on the receiving end of that, it will actually feel so seductively powerful and pull them in even further. So it becomes this really beautiful way for you guys to be very sure of who's for you, what opportunities are for you, and further align you to your truth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And there's definitely been a few times where I felt kind of pressured to make a decision right away. And then, you know, if that's the case, then right away I should realize that that's not probably the right opportunity for me, right? If I'm feeling pressured and I'm not being given enough time to make a decision from a place what feels right for me.
Exactly. So, yeah. And then you are a generator. And generators are here to be just super satisfied by what they do. You're here to commit your energy to the things that really light you up. And the biggest thing that I see for generators, to kind of reframe, is that, you know, your worth is not necessarily coming from a place of what am I doing for others, or what should I be doing. It's no, what do I innately desire? What is it I desire? The more you listen to that sacral response that's constantly drawing things to you, you will find the right opportunities, and opportunities will start coming to you versus you forcing or making them happen.
I like that. Yeah. I know I often feel like, you know, as an entrepreneur, you're trying to always, we're pivot a lot this year for sure, but also just grow and move forward with your business. And it feels like a lot of times you're having to, you know, generate ideas and projects and stuff that sometimes it just intuitively doesn't feel right to me. And there's been a few times where I kind of just forged ahead anyway, because I'm like, okay, well, this is going to probably be lucrative, or this is, you know, it seems like it should be a good collaboration, but something felt off. And yeah, I'm learning to lean in more to my intuitive aspect in that decision-making process, both in like my business life and in my personal life, I think. And I always have better results when I do that.
So. Amazing. I'm so glad. Yeah. I'm so glad you see that. And it really is, all of this is an experiment. And I actually think it's really powerful for people to see the times where they aren't following their strategy or authority, because it's just clues to, oh, right, that doesn't work, and I'm not going to do that next time.
Yeah.
It's just teaching you, is like, we learn so beautifully by mistake. So it's every piece of the awareness journey is helpful.
For sure.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, what are your thoughts on the, I think it's of my solar plexus center is defined. So it talks about like emotional and nervous system, and like moods, feelings, desires, passion, romance, all that. I'm like, oh yeah, I'm very passionate, romantic, emotional person. So I'm like, that just sounds like me in a nutshell.
Yes.
And food.
Defined in your solar plexus.
Yeah.
That is that piece that makes you the emotional authority. It's, you are going to experience a lot of different emotions. You could wake up in a certain emotional mood. and it could change all day long. You actually have, with your 40 to 37 channel, I'm actually wondering if your emotional wave kind of goes over more of like a month, and it kind of maybe builds up until maybe there's like a day on week three where the final kind of straw lands and it's like everything falls apart.
That sounds about right.
Yeah. So I really encourage people with a defined solar plexus to just be aware of your emotions. Don't fight them. Don't resist them. Don't shame them, and just kind of like ride them. Like, they're going to go away. You're on a wave, you're going to be at a peak, and then you're going to be, so you're going to ride them, stop fighting them. It's amazing how much, I don't think we realize how much we fight or resist the emotions we're in. We're like, this is wrong. I don't want it. I can't feel it. And we actually just amplify it. But yeah, right. Instead just ride it and it will pass. You also have a defined spleen, which to me speaks to, you will have a capacity to be very intuitive. And you also have 4426, the channel 4426, which I'm not surprised seeing this for you, but this really speaks to having the gift of sales. And mm-hmm. It will be a gift of being able to see what people need and being able to sell it to them in a really beautiful way. And I see you doing that. You're always tapping into like, what do people need next? What do people need? And that's a very, very beautiful, gift of yours.
That's right. Yeah. I know. I feel like with the pivoting this year, this like, that was one of the first things I asked myself. It's like, hey, I saw a lot of people, you know, panicking and just feeling like they're burning out and feeling overwhelmed. And I'm like, whereas I'm not obviously a counselor, I can still, you know, I put out a few things where I was offering like a discounted rate on like a session to talk about like burnout and like a simple session where it's just mainly to like get a supplement to help you deal with those stress hormones, but also like create a plan of like healthy habits to help you deal with that situation, right? Like simple things where I wanted to make it clear to people that I'm not going to put you on some strict cleanse or ask you to cut out sugar or something. So
exactly
seeing what they need in that time. Yeah,
exactly. That's a big gift in your chart for sure. Yeah. You know what else stands out? Now I'm just like flowing and you can tell me to stop.
Yeah.
you have a 4 in your profile and you have channel 4037. So to me, these together, it's like soul family and connecting with community is very important to you. And with the 4, your opportunities will come from people you already know. So when I see a 4 in people's chart and they're in business, I'm always encouraging them to rely on current connections, people you already know. Your audience is like the people you already know, like really feed into them. And from there, they will grow you. But it's like, you're not actually here to really sell to strangers.
Right.
You're really here to sell to the connections that you have. And that will keep amplifying you.
Amazing.
I like pointing that out when I see that. Yeah. Yeah.
So I like that. I want to learn more about these open centers. Is that somewhere where it's easy to become kind of imbalanced? Because I noticed stuff about like my head center is open and it talks about like mental pressure, doubt, confusion.
Yes.
Thinking about things that don't matter. I'm like, oh, that sounds like me, like ruminating on things.
Exactly. So the white centers in someone's human design chart are, they're where you are empathic, they're where you feel into the world, they are where you will feel or potentially fall into the deepest conditioning and get thrown off. And they are also where you are here to experience the most wisdom. So when I'm looking at someone's chart and trying to help them decondition and realign, I look to where are their centers the most open. And in your chart, your root center and your head center are both completely open. So the root center, the shadow here, the frequency here that you might be prone to, that might be throwing you off, would be this pressure to get things done, to be urgent, to, oh my gosh, what am I going to do? I got to get it done. I got to go, get it done. And it's like, you're constantly trying to relieve the pressure, but it's like the moment you relieve that pressure, there's another pressure there.
Yep. There's always something.
So the wisdom here is to be so aware that you're not here to be so set in a timeline. Give yourself permission to have more freedom in deadlines. maybe there's going to be a time and place for deadlines, but really honor your energy in terms of when am I supposed to push and put the pressure on to finish this? Or when am I here to kind of go with the flow and get it done when my energy says it will get it done? Mm-hmm. And know that you are not here to consistently deal with constant pressure. So reminding yourself when you start to feel really urgent, okay, no, I'm feeling this is not me. I'm here just to focus on like what is the most important thing to focus on, and I'm going to leave the rest. I'm not here prove to anyone that I can do it quickly. Does that show up for you?
Oh, definitely. Yeah, I'm like, I have to get this done. I'm like always giving myself hard deadlines, and then I stress out if it's not done. And
yeah, I'd really encourage you to experiment with without deadlines, but at the same time, you have a defined ego. So I would also say get relaxed on deadlines and see how that feels, but at the same time, make sure you're only committing to what you really want to commit to, because a defined ego, it's very healthy to follow through and commit and finish the things you've committed to. So it's kind of two things there. It's releasing the pressure that you have to do it now, but being really smart about what you committed to in the first place.
For sure.
Yeah. And that open head center up top, the shadow of being completely open is kind of like that shiny object syndrome of, oh my gosh, everything is so inspiring. Like scattered brain, like this, this inspires me. I could do this. So the wisdom is that you will have the potential to have so many different ideas, but getting really clear on it has a very similar function to the root in terms of this pressure of what am I here to focus on right now? I can dance and welcome in all these ideas, but know that sometimes I might be inspired just because someone else is, and what do I really want to focus on?
Right.
And stay in my lane. And I find just the awareness of this can be so helpful to know that this is where your mind might take you, but you're here to kind of pull it back in.
Mm-hmm. Can you explain like part of these centers, like it's saying the not self theme, what does that mean?
Yeah, so not self is essentially Human Design's way of kind of saying the shadow behavior or the unhealthy frequency you might fall into. So I would say the not self theme of the open root center that we talked about would be feeling urgent. Mm-hmm. Not self theme of the head center is going to be that scattered, like shiny object syndrome thinking.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. So anywhere you see not self in a Human Design chart, it's speaking to a lower energy frequency that you might fall into, but the signature theme is what you want to lean into. The higher power theme is what you want to lean into.
Cool.
Yeah.
There's so much to be learned.
I know, there is so much. I'm going to share one more thing because I'm curious if this applies to you. You are a six. You have a six in your profile. Sixes are here to be role models. And the first 30 years of a six's life can be filled with such trial and error. It's like you're bumping into things. It can feel really rocky and wavy. And then from about 30 to 50, you're kind of in this massive, like you've pulled back, you're gathering everything you've learned, and you're finally kind of like feeling like life makes sense a little bit. And it's like you're rising into your authentic self. And by the time you're 50, it will solidify even more. But the first 30 years of a six's life, I'm always curious to ask them if it was bumpy.
Oh yeah, very bumpy. And well, I'm 37 this year, so I'm hoping that as we inch closer to 50, with that in mind, like most people dread aging, but it sounds like I'm excited to get closer to 50 if that's gonna be, you know, where I'm headed and kind of really solidifying what I want out of life. So
exactly. I'm a six and I'm with you there, so
yeah. Called late bloomers, I guess.
Honestly, very much so. And it doesn't mean that a six can't have success earlier on. It's just it's just that mastery really keeps building for us as we go on. Yeah.
Okay. So now I'm curious, what are your main ones? Like, are you a manifester or a generator?
So I'm a projector. I'm a mental projector with a 6-2 profile. And projectors they're here to do life a little bit differently in terms of, we don't have this defined sacral that you generators have. So 70% of the world are generators. You guys have this defined sacral that gives you access to a lot more consistent energy. So projectors who do not have this defined sacral, we are really here to be a lot more inconsistent with how we do work and to show up much more differently in how we do work. So they often say that projectors are here to be more the guides, the advisors versus the doers who are always doing all the time, because we don't always have the energy to constantly do. And honestly, for me, when I first learned about being a projector and so many aspects of my chart, I was like blown away. It was this massive permission slip to stop trying to do things like all the generators in the world to hustle and do. And I will clarify that I think our whole world, even generators who can hustle at times, are hustling too much. Like we're all hustling.
We're all burning out.
Generators, you guys do have an ability to do it more than a projector. So when I heard this, I just was such a, oh my goodness, like this makes sense. I didn't think there was another way of being. It's been quite expansive for me to learn. And I'm also, so you're fairly open. Well, you have 1, 2, 3, 4, you have 5 centers defined, 4 open. This isn't science like textbook, but the more open centers you have, the more, you could say the more sensitive you are, the more vulnerable you are to feeling into others. There's some other pieces of your chart that look at this, but I only have 2 centers defined, and I have no energy centers. So it's, to me, there were so many clues that, okay, you're a highly sensitive being. There is not a lot of energy that I can just force some days. And I really had to learn how to be efficient and to lean into the ebb and flow of my inconsistent energy, which has been the biggest breath of fresh air as a projector for sure.
Amazing. I like that you're kind of framing it as like giving you that permission slip, right? Because our society very much puts pressure on us to always do and be achieving all the time and moving forward. But you know, that's, everyone's not built like that. And even for those of us that are, that's not what life is all about. So
exactly.
Yeah, it's really true too about the open centers. And I've always considered myself an empath. I remember when I first learned about, you know, people that are empaths, and I was like, oh my God, this is me. Like I absorb other people's energies. So I'm really trying to learn techniques to ground myself and kind of protect myself, especially this year and this month specifically, with everyone's, you know, collective negative energy and stress and fear. It's really taking a toll on me. So I learned the one technique that, I mean, different people have different ways of visualizing it, but kind of like envisioning like a bubble or like a light surrounding me, that's kind of my shield that's protecting me from other people's energy.
It's really beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And with your super open root, this is going to say that you are feeling everyone else's stress, worry, like you are feeling that, and you're amplifying it. Mm-hmm. So you're very vulnerable to that for sure.
And that's heavy, but it's also really great to understand that and realize, you know, on the days that I feel really off, but I don't know why, you know, there's nothing really particular that I should be upset about today, but I just feel off. And like, then I understand, well, you know, looking at everyone around me and the collective energy, and like, that makes sense that I feel off and there's no particular reason, right?
Exactly. Yeah. I know, it takes this little pressure off. Oh, it's me. There's something wrong with me. It's no, where you're feeling into the world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you have any particular techniques or things that you do with that? Yeah.
So
protect yourself?
I have a few, but I would say my go-to favorite lately is anytime I'm feeling anything intense that I'm not wanting to be feeling ideally, I immediately kind of sit, I pause, and I close my eyes, put my hands in my body, and I ask myself, okay, like, what am I feeling? And I really try to feel it, like 110% focus on what am I feeling? Like, I'm actually going to feel it. I will start to question, you know, where in my body do I feel this? And sometimes it's more obvious than others. Sometimes it's like, oh, it's in my stomach. I feel it in my stomach. I try to name it. Like, is there a color? Is there a feeling? And then I go to, where is this coming from? Is it even mine? And sometimes it's really clear and sometimes it's not, but this whole process just helps me feel it and let it kind of go through me. Because I really think that, I mean, as people who are very sensitive and empaths, yes, the downside is we can get overwhelmed by these emotions, but there's so much wisdom in them. And I don't think the ultimate goal is to retreat and hide. It's how can I feel this, experience it, take the wisdom of it, not be bogged down by it, kind of let it go through me versus let it go in me and hang on to it.
Yeah.
It's how can we not run away from it, but learn from it? So that's my biggest go-to right now. And if I'm feeling really kind of thrown off, movement, getting outside, totally like plugging myself away from, or plugging out from everything I possibly can. But that has been my favorite. It's amazing how much and how quickly I can shift what I'm feeling if I just like pause and name it, really feel it.
I love that. I have to try that. Yeah. I love the, I've definitely been one to do a lot of movement. So I never used to run. I used to go to the gym, but obviously not a thing anymore. So I started running in the spring and did that all through to the fall. And even sometimes if the road is, you know, not ice covered or the sidewalk, I will run if it's not too cold. But obviously there's days where it's cold and I just don't feel like doing that. So it's funny because today I was feeling off and I was thinking like, I need to do some movement to help myself feel better, but I didn't know what that looked like. So I didn't feel like going outside. And my friend just happened to post about this free yoga class tonight. That's very like yin and restorative. And I was like, okay, this is exactly what I need. So I'm like right away, just signed up and I'm really looking forward to that as a way to flow and just release everything I've taken on.
Amazing. Amazing. I know movement is, it was my first medicine. It will still be my first, like a part of my medicines, but it's so powerful.
If you're an open root center like me, you're strongly impacted by others' negative energies and moods. And this year there's been a lot of collective fear, stress, and negativity. My moods were all over the place. And even when I felt pretty happy with my life, I was feeling down and on edge and I just couldn't figure out why. I now realize I was taking on other people's energies and internalizing it, and I let it affect my own mental health. If you're like me, in an effort to boost my mood, I've always reached for comfort foods, especially anything chocolate. Before I knew why this was happening, quite often, a treat would quickly spiral out of control and end up in an all-out binge. And then I end up with a sugar hangover. So this isn't to say that you shouldn't enjoy your favorite treats at all, but the key is to be able to enjoy them in moderation without feeling like you're losing control. You should be able to have a small serving and feel satisfied. If this sounds like you, the first thing you need to do is understand why you're having these cravings. And often this is because your mental health is off. So when you understand how your gut and your brain are directly connected, you start to piece it together and you realize that making some simple adjustments to your diet and your routines allow you to prevent these strong cravings and overeating. Because when you're balancing out your mood and your energy, you're able to be in control around food and enjoy your favorite foods in moderation. So if you're ready to boost your mood and your energy and have control around carbs again, especially this time of year, you can grab your free copy of my ebook, How to Crush Carb Cravings, from the link in the show notes.
Yeah, I'd like to learn more about, you know, what it's like to actually work either one-on-one with you, or I know you do offer some group coaching as well. Like maybe you can walk us through how that works.
Sure. Yeah. So there's a number of different ways you can work with me. Typically people start out with one-to-one readings where we are kind of going over the most important information of your human design chart and then highly kind of personalizing the session. For some people, it's very much, they want to receive like just a deep dive reading of them. And then for some people, it's much more of a discussion and question and answer period, formulating action steps for them. So that's one of the biggest ways to work with me, is those one-to-one human design sessions. But then I also am the biggest fan of creating group experiences and group learning. I offer different masterminds according to energy type. So there's one for generators and manifesting generators right now, one for projectors. And in both of these energy group masterminds, I'm both giving kind of coaching guidance to help you align with your energy type and then facilitate conversations so you guys really uniquely learn from each other. And then one of my most favorite ways to work with people is a combination of both, is one-to-one, like repetitive coaching, where we are using your human design, a number of my coaching skills to continually align you and then bring you into a mastermind as well. So there's a number of different offerings. Sometimes I have one-off little classes, but for the most part, that's kind of the bulk of how someone would work with me. So it could be a one-off thing, it could be a long-term thing. There's really a lot of options.
Awesome. And the kind of the people that come to you, like what would be some reasons that someone would come to you? Is it just like if they're feeling lost in terms of their life direction, or they, you know, need guidance or need a certain problem solved? Like what kind of problems would they come to you with?
Yeah, great question. So the main things I see are, the first one would be someone who is really struggling with what I'm going to call having life just work. Something isn't working well for them. I get a lot of people who are entrepreneurs, or let's call them creatives, people selling something. Not everyone is falling into this group, but that first segment of people is people who just life just isn't lining up for them, and they're wanting guidance to kind of make life easier and better, whether it's in their personal life or in their work life. And then I would say I get people who are really, they're already in the game of growth. I'd say everyone who works with me is somewhat already in the game of growth. They have an awareness of who they are, but they're just wanting to commit and be accountable to further growth. They're wanting to align. They really value and understand the value of committing to coaching, you know, handing over that money, that money exchange that really opens a portal of their growth and their commitment and where they're going over the next like month or 2 months. So it's, I kind of see two different people. It's the people who are very stuck, or it's the people who are, they've got a good flow going, but they know they're here to aim higher and they want aligning and grow higher. But I can share if it's helpful, just like if you, you know, there's so many different people in terms of like different problems. It can be, I want to learn how to be seen. I want to get over some of these fears. I want to learn how to show up in my business the way that I'm authentically supposed to. That's been a really big one lately. I want to learn how to parent my children better and see them authentically. I want to understand how to have a healthier relationship and understand my partner better. There's honestly so many options, but that's kind of the bulk, the most common things that I see. Actually, I should add to the last one, the most important one would be clues on how to connect to their intuitive wisdom. That's a really big one too. We're wanting to learn how do I listen to my intuitive wisdom. That's a really big one too.
And that's, yeah, I feel like everyone probably needs some of that, because as you're saying, like, well, there's so much conditioning that goes on in our society and at large, but also even within our family units and whatnot, right? It's just like, even though we're in 2020 and it's not 1950 anymore, we're still very much conditioned to like, okay, this is the way your life is supposed to be, and, you know, laid out in a certain path. And if you don't follow that path, then something's wrong with you. And then, yeah, there's so much pressure and conditioning that when we don't follow that way that things are supposed to be done, and I'm doing air quotes, that then you feel like something's wrong with you, you know?
Exactly. It kind of takes me back to what you said earlier. It's one of my favorite things to do in a reading is feel like I've given someone the permission slip just to be them. It's amazing to me how much we all need this. It seems like something so simple. Well, why can't I just be me? But it's so helpful when someone just kind of gives you that nudge and says, it's okay. You're allowed to do it this way.
Yeah. Being you is not wrong or bad. It's maybe just different than how other people do it, but that's the beauty in it, right? Because if we were all the same, then how boring would the world be?
Exactly.
Exactly.
So many differences.
So maybe you can get into our little lightning round of some questions I have for you. I would love to know what your morning and evening routines are like.
Okay, so I'll be super honest, my evening routine sucks and I'm looking to like reframe it. But I'll start with my morning routine. I don't set an alarm. I rarely have anything officially booked before noon or 11, and I do that on purpose. And this actually goes back to my days of when I was really coming out of my depression. It was like, I need sleep. If I need to sleep in, I need to sleep in. Excuse me. So I really give myself the permission to wake when my body needs to wake, which is between 6 and 8, depending on the day. I wake up, I'm immediately like assessing my energy. I go down and I start my day with hot lemon water. And as I'm drinking that, I'm usually juicing some juice. Right now it's celery juice, listening to some music. And then as soon as I kind of get my juices, I come up into my office space here and I just sit. I actually often do that little technique I shared with you earlier about like, what is my body feeling today? What is my energy feeling today as a projector? This is like really powerful advice for projectors. I'm always assessing, what is my energy today? What do I do? What kind of energy do I have to commit to certain things? Do I have energy to commit to certain things? And I kind of plot out my day in terms of what is the most important thing that needs to happen, what has to happen, what does my energy essentially want. And then from there I either dive right into work if I'm feeling very creative, or it's either that, or 50% of the time it's diving right into movement. Because movement is very important for me.
So like that, yoga or
it'll honestly be anything. Right now it's a lot of yoga. This morning it was running and yoga. Some days it's going to the gym, but that is, I'm very intuitive about that. I actually haven't been to the gym in almost a month because I've just been wanting yoga. So it's been yoga right now, but I really give myself the freedom of, I find my morning hours are when I'm most creative in terms of work. So if I'm wake up and I'm like, I'm really on with ideas, then I just go into like work and kind of getting some of that stuff out for maybe for an hour and a half before I go into movement. Or if I wake up and can tell I'm off, like my energy just isn't how I want it to be, then I would go into movement right away. So I love kind of curating that space in the morning. And then evenings, yeah, I'm trying to figure them out. And this kind of comes from a place of, for most of my life, I was either overworking and working in evenings, or, and then coming home burnt out, or I was sick and like resting. And it's like now for the first time in my life, I'm healthy. And it's like, what do I do in my evenings? It's like it's a whole new thing for me.
Yeah.
Trying to figure out. Right now there's a lot of shows and like my four sigmatic reishi drinks, which is lovely. But I haven't quite figured out something really, I don't know. I'm working on that. So I don't totally know what that looks like yet.
I love it. I love Four Sigmatic too. I have their, I think it's the Defend blend that I have. When the days I need a little extra energy, I think it's got cordyceps. I've got two mushrooms. I can't remember the other one, as well as ginseng and then the instant coffee.
Amazing. So I'm
that's
obsessed.
My buzz for the day. And the one that you have, is it just reishi?
It's just reishi. I forget. There might be another mushroom in it, but this one has no caffeine.
Nice.
And even I can rarely do coffee. Even their instant coffee, I can't always do. I have a few of the packets for the odd day that I'm like, I want this today and I'm going to have it. But I have a hard time with anything coffee. So I usually just stick to their non-coffee ones, but
yeah,
I love all their stuff.
Love it. Yeah. I love the mushrooms that are great for adrenals. And I guess it depends where you are on your adrenal journey. I'm kind of depleted, so I often need the ginseng aspect of that as well. So they're so nourishing though. I love that they're balancing and like not overly stimulating in and of themselves, right? Obviously when you combine it with the coffee, it's stimulating, but
completely.
Yeah. Yeah. Evening routines. That's something that's funny. I saw myself in what you were saying there is I've always been, especially the last few years of my business. I mean, having a day job, but also working my own business, it's pretty much every day come home and do more work, right? Because it's like, if I don't do that, then nothing's going to get moved forward with my business. But definitely been through many cycles of burnout. And especially with the current situation this year, really focusing on staying healthy. And I know for a fact, as soon as I get run down, I get some sort of illness, whether it's migraines or an actual bug of some sort. So I'm really trying to find that balance, which I have a lovely roommate that reminds me of that I need to have potato mode sometimes, we call it, and just have an evening to relax. So that's important too.
It really is.
Yeah. So what's your current philosophy on food? I know you've been through a lot with your gut healing, so curious. Yeah.
Overall, I would say I'm just like the most intuitive eater, and I literally follow my intuition. And I'm also, this is a whole segment, maybe we can get into like another day too. There's a whole part of your human design chart that actually tells you like very precisely how to eat, but I can share from my chart as a projector, we're here to be a little bit simpler in how we eat. Our bodies work better with simple foods. Plus, I have open taste in my human design profile as well, which says I'm here to eat very seasonally and like simple ingredients and really follow my taste, and which I do. And it's really interesting to see. So I follow my taste. I'm like, what do I want today? And I might eat the same thing actually for like 2 weeks, and all of a sudden it'll be like, I don't want any of this, and I completely have to change my whole like view. But for the most part, I'm eating raw vegan until noon, and then I start to add in all the other things. But I will share, as much as I'm very intuitive of all the seasons, I'm really big on fruit in the morning with greens, and I'm obsessed with legumes and beans. They have been huge for my health. Akshay, you were someone that really helped me start to clue in on that.
Yeah.
But beans and legumes are in my diet at least every day. There'll be some days where I intuitively pull away, but that's a big part of how I eat. And I'm a big fan of, we're all different. We're going to eat differently. I just really follow it intuitively. And I think there's a second piece I wanted to share there that just floated out of my mind.
I was going to say, for the beans, you know, obviously everyone knows they're healthy for you, but a lot of people just can't tolerate them. But often I share with those people, like, if you really can't tolerate them, there's something else going on there. And I know both of us have dealt with that to the point where we had to really do like the whole low FODMAP thing, because many foods would trigger gut symptoms due to the fact that there was this microbial like dysbiosis in the gut. And then once we did that healing, we were able to start incorporating more. So I can't do beans as of yet, but I'm able to do lentils, which I never used to be able to do. Yeah, so, and we know, like I'm sure you know too, that fiber is so important for your gut health, and that's the irony of it, right? It's like you're reacting to it by getting all gassy and uncomfortable, but you actually need these fibers for optimal gut health. So gotta find, you know, do the root healing in order to reincorporate them eventually.
Exactly. No, exactly. And that just reminded me of that last little piece I wanted to share, was that I'm just the biggest fan of eating as pure and as natural as possible. And doesn't mean I don't let myself have what I want. I don't restrict myself, but I truly love eating as simple and as clean as possible. And over the years, my diet continually gets cleaner and cleaner and cleaner. And I'm really passionate about that. And I'm really seeing how it's like food literally becomes us. And if we are feeding ourselves with things that are numbing us and full of chemicals and bogging us down, it pulls us away from our intuition. It's another way of learning how to connect deeper with ourselves. So I'm really kind of passionate about that piece, and seeing the ingredients that are allowed to be in our food sometimes really scares me.
I know, so much chemicals. And it's like, that's not to say that we can't have something like a cookies, right? But make homemade cookies that you know what's in them. It's whole healthy ingredients. There's no chemical crap, hopefully. And like the stuff that you're buying is not full of chemicals to make the cookies. But yeah, there's a lot of really healthy ways to make them, and that, yeah, there's still a sweet treat, but there's not full of chemicals and preservatives.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So passionate about that.
Okay. So what is your go-to self-care ritual when you're feeling off?
Go-to self-care ritual. It's usually movement. And if I've already done movement in the day, then it might just be like 20 minutes of like like very sensual yoga movement or dance or stretching or rolling movement. Just, I know it's powerful for everyone, but it's 100% my like go-to self-care thing. And then beyond that, when I'm really trying to, when I really like want to indulge, I love getting holistic facials. Or getting like my hair like blown out for me. Like those are self-care rituals that I highly invest in, because they make me feel amazing, and I feel like they pull my energy up. It's amazing. It just feels like such an investment that gives me back so much.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Yeah. I hate doing that. My hair.
No, it never is quite the same, eh? Okay, so what are you currently like what's currently inspiring you? Is it like a book or a podcast or someone you're following?
Good question. Kind of feel like I'm currently in a bubble of being inspired by myself. I'm defined in my crown where you are open. Only 30% of us are defined, and we're more innately here to be inspired when we're alone. And I'm kind of currently in one of those bubbles of being very inspired kind of from my own stuff, but I will. There are people though that I follow that really inspire me. I would say right now, I've been loving listening to. I'm a big fan of podcasts. I don't read a lot. Okay. Usually my inspiration comes in through podcasts. I love listening to Luke's Story from the Lifestylist podcast. I'm just so inspired by. He's someone. Do you know him?
No.
He's he kind of has my dream life in some ways. He is someone who's like authentically finding his own life and finding like every health hack and experimenting with it and talking about it. And I just love learning from him. So he's super inspiring to me. I also really like the Almost 30 podcast and Lacey Phillips, her To Be Magnetic podcast. I think it's actually called Expanded is her podcast.
Okay.
Yeah. Also Dara DuVernay. I'm obsessed with her. She's a projector.
I have not heard of most of these people. I'm going to have to check them out.
Yeah. You know what I will share is my biggest inspiration is more. So I have a fake Instagram.
Oh.
I don't put any pictures to. No one follows me. It's just for my inspiration. There's like no clients on there. No people.
Okay.
Know. It's just like my totally curated space of people who inspire me, things I like to see. And it's like my little safe haven of like, I just want to be inspired right now.
I love that.
Yeah.
That's a really good idea, actually.
It's the best idea. I so encourage everyone to have a fake Instagram.
Yeah. Okay. And so my final lightning round question for you. What are the top three supplements that you can't live without?
Okay. So this is easy for me. My fish oils, they're constant. Vitamin D, which is I'm always taking. And right now, the third one would be Chase Tree. And that I've only recently been taking that since the summer, and hormonally I feel like it has balanced out my like the last 2 weeks of my cycle so beautifully, and I'm like amazed actually at how much I'm gonna call it more level I am.
Okay. Yeah, that's like a progestogenic herb, so which is many women are more estrogen dominant, where, you know, not necessarily that estrogen's too high, but in relative to progesterone's too low. And so anything that's kind of progestogenic, like Chase Berry or Vitex is another word for it, will help to kind of boost those levels. And it's progesterone, anything that's progestogenic is very like calming, anti-inflammatory, anti-anxiety, helps you sleep. So takes the edge off.
Yeah, I definitely feel all those things. I've been very happy with it.
Love it. Amazing. Well, thank you so much for sharing. I had, you know, the best time ever talking with you. I always do. And very inspiring. It's really inspiring me to get more into my own human design. And it's, yeah, giving myself permission to really flow with that rather than forcing decisions or things in my life that don't feel right. So really, I really encourage anyone out there that's listening to check out your human design chart. Maybe we can link to that in the show notes, as well as look into Allison's services. I did some work with her back in, was it the summer? or the spring. Can't remember when it was.
I feel like this year's been like a century.
So I know. Was it last year, maybe?
It was last year.
But yeah, and it was just really transformative for me. So honestly, if you're at all curious, at least connect with her and see what it's about. And I'll link to your services in the show notes as well. So anything else you'd like to share before we go? Maybe you can tell us like where we can find you online.
Yeah, so you can find me at, I literally just changed my Instagram handle, you guys. So you can now find me at Allison Janelle Coaching.
Okay.
On Instagram, and my website will be AllisonJanelle.com, but right now you can find me through either AllisonKipper.com or AllisonJanelle.com. But I'm most active on Instagram, and that you can link up to my website from Instagram. So Allison Janelle Coaching on Instagram.
Perfect. And are you still doing the lives throughout the week, or is there was one day that you were doing live podcast?
Yeah. So I paused for December, but I'm totally coming back with that in the new year. So that will
amazing.
Be
yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
Yes.
Awesome. Well, thanks again for joining me. And I hope everyone enjoyed this episode. It was really eye-opening for me. And yeah, have a lovely December.
Amazing. Thank you, Holly.
Thank you.
Thanks for tuning in today, guys. Hey, if you have 30 seconds to spare, if you could leave me a rating and review in your podcast app, I would greatly appreciate it. It helps women just like you discover my podcast and start their own healing journey. Thanks again for tuning in, and I'll catch you next week.